here with Kim Olaisen of the band Anubis Gate. So, Kim, you know, talk about what's going on with the band. What do you currently have going on right now?
Yeah, we just finished the mixes for the new album. So, and I've been putting the masters together, you know, with the crossfade between songs and stuff like that, because this album will be a sort of integrated listening experience. You know, you almost have to listen to it. You don't have to, but if you wish to, you can listen to it from the start to the finish, and it's almost like one song, even though there are 10 songs on it. So, yeah, we've been recording you know, our demos, you know, when we start recording them, some of the stuff that are on the demos will actually end up on the final album. So you could say we've been writing and recording for the last 3 years, and now it's all done. And I have way too much time on my hands now. I'll start writing the next one. So that's what Anubis Gate is up to now, and we are just dealing with you know, things like the artwork for the album, and possibly doing a video for one of the songs. So so that's more or less it.
You put out a really killer box set called Orbits, which had your first few albums reissued and remastered. Plus, you had a couple extra CDs full of a lot of extra other extra tracks and things that may not have been released. And it was also crowdfunded by the fans. And it's one of those instances, one of those few times that I've seen where a crowdfunded project by a band actually, you know, actually get off the ground. And talk a bit about the Orbit box set.
Well, yeah, you know, that was a real cliffhanger, because the day before, it didn't seem like the crowdfunding would reach its goal, which it did in the last couple of hours. But the story is that the first four album was on a Spanish label called Locomotive Records, and they closed down in... they closed down about the time we finished, they released our fourth album, and but they didn't really close down. They kept on selling our stuff and selling streams and selling download versions and pocketing all the money for themselves. So we never saw a dime from them. And we actually had to put a lawyer on them to stop them from doing that. And when that finally happened, that took years, actually. Then we were able to, firstly, we were able to put the albums up for sale ourselves through iTunes and Amazon download and on Spotify. And that the hard copies, they were out of print for many years. So we had been toying with this idea, and we didn't really have the, what should we call it? None of us are great administrators. So that's when Lacey Muglow, I hope I pronounced that right, that's when she stepped in and did a huge amount of work for us. And we are so grateful that she did, because without her and without the help of Lance King also, it would never have come through. But the thing is, the rights reverted to us, and we could release them ourselves. I mean, this box set is actually sort of released through Nightmare Records. It was a big pre-order campaign. And so it's the first four albums with almost the original artwork. Some of it we didn't really... some of it were kind of... a generation old in the artwork sense, meaning that none of us had the finished artwork, but we had the work files from it. And then we had all those tracks lying around that we had recorded full time, all those funny cover versions and live stuff. And we decided that would be a pretty good time to release them. Because that would make it interesting for people who maybe had one or two of the old albums, and that would be a good incentive for people to buy the box set without feeling ripped off because they already had one or two of the albums.
Well, when it comes to heavy metal, you know, it's interesting because, you know, people seem to be buying more stuff and buying more music, where that wasn't the trend about a few years ago. And have you seen that with the last couple of albums that you've put out? And have you seen that with this box?
That's funny. I have a feeling that may be the case. Certainly regarding illegal downloads. And that might also be because, like Spotify or not, I don't like that they pay so little, but I like that at least it's a legal way. And it's really, it's beginning to generate money now. And also YouTube has put up some kind of system that if someone uploads your video, there is an algorithm that can recognize the song, and it will actually generate money because they put an advert in front of it. And I mean, so basically YouTube was illegal downloading before, and now it's actually like Spotify. So more and more money are actually going back to the artists now, money that that were lost because of digital downloads. But I'm seeing some good trends in the music business, and certainly when something is kind of exclusive, people are willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, like people are willing to pay for vinyls because it may be a different mastering and stuff like that. And we are kind of just discussing, it may or may not happen, but we are kind of discussing if the new album should be released on vinyl too. But ultimately, that would be up to Nightmare Records, of course.
You know, vinyl LPs seem to be really taking over, and really in the music business, they're actually selling a lot. And have you thought about maybe putting some of your other albums out, some of the past albums out on vinyl, maybe reissuing them, remastering them, and putting them out on that format?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know. I mean, we just released this box set, and I don't... The thing is, with vinyl, if you're not doing a huge... If you're not printing a huge amount and selling them, it's really, really expensive. So, I mean, if you can only sell 300, it's not financially viable. You really need to sell more than that. And I'm not sure that we could sell that many of the old albums, especially now after we have released the box set. I mean, it may be too soon to ask people to buy them once more. As for the newer albums, perhaps, you know, they haven't been reissued. Remastering the old albums, that would require that because of the way we did them, we actually mastered them as we mixed them. That's how we often work with Jacob Hansen. You know, he's having the master chain on the master bus, and so when we mix, we hear the final master. So there really is no way to remaster those because we have no pre-master mixes of them, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So people often buy vinyls to get a master that is not mastered so hot, you know, a bit more dynamic. And there's no way we can do that. You know, our masters are the hot sounding, a big brick walls masters, and that's what we have of them. Remastering wouldn't be possible for anything else than the last couple of new albums, because we still have the mix sessions that we can do a recall on. Actually, it would, perhaps it would even require a remix, I think, mm-hmm. of the new albums, which would cost, you know, crazy amount of money, because Jacob Hansen is not cheap to get him to mix, because he's world class, you know, and I don't think we would have the money to do a remix of the albums, just put them out on vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last album, Horizons, that you had put out a couple years back, I thought was probably your best album. And, you know, where an album like Andromeda Unchained, I think, more or less defined your sound. And then, you know, you obviously had a Detached that kind of expanded on that. I think Horizons was probably the best album you have ever put out. And I have to ask you, what kind of success did you have with that record? Because to me, it was an amazing album, not just your best, in my opinion, but, you know, it was on par with anything that was being put out at the time.
Well, yeah, I think what happens is that that album kind of bridged together all our past experiences as human beings, really, and we allowed ourselves to say, okay, if I want to do a flamenco guitar solo, you know, I can do that, and we shouldn't worry about what people think. We shouldn't worry if it's not too heavy. I mean, if it's too soft, or and that's on the new album that will be out this year. We took that much further, but more of that later. Yeah, I mean, to me it was the epitome of what I mean. It's 3 years old now, and I feel we have even moved past Horizons. It would be a tough album to follow. I was feeling like that after the Detached 2, when we did the self-titled album. It was kind of, phew, we can't really follow the Detached. We have to step aside and pretend almost like we didn't do it. And I felt kind of the same way with the new one. I had to pretend we never made Horizons, because it's such a fearsome album to follow. So I kind of erased it from my mind while we were doing this album. stepped aside and pretended it never happened, because when I listen to Horizons without blowing my own candle too much, I don't know if that's what's it called in American, but you can please edit that out. Well, oh, where was I? I mean, it's not like if I should compare us with the Beatles, but what were the Beatles supposed to do after they made Sgt. Pepper? You know, that's such a huge achievement, and the Detached was a huge achievement. And even though I love the self-titled album, Horizons was just on a much higher level than the self-titled album for me. It was, so in order to move on from that, the best thing for me was to step aside and like say, now this is a new path. But yeah, I mean, it was a huge achievement, and it took a crazy amount of work to do Horizons. But then again, so did this album. They all did, actually. So, yeah.
Now, I know it's going to be difficult to do, but, you know, the new album you just wrote and that's being mixed and you're getting ready to put out here sometime, hopefully this year, how would you compare that record, say, to the Horizons album that came out a couple years ago?
Yeah, it is compared. You can't compare it with Horizons. I mean, that would be the... because that's where we evolved from, naturally. So, but where Horizons was kind of a, to me, it was kind of a even though it didn't perhaps reflect so much in the lyric. It was kind of a musical. It was filled with light and filled with hope and filled with. It was a very beautiful album, Horizons. A bit like Summer in Time with from Iron Maiden, you know, that's a very beautiful album. And this, the new album, is it's much more dark, I think. It's not a concept album, but all the songs deal with people being in dark places in their lives, you know, and it deals with you know, there's a story about an assassin, there's a story about a girl who has to suffer being ridiculed by all her friends on social media and stuff like that, you know, where she's driven to the outer limits of what she can stand, you know, and things like that. That's what this album about, and I think, you know, I had a kind of, I wouldn't say mental breakdown, but I was in a dark place for a couple of years, and that reflects very much on the music on this album. And so I'm much better now, thankfully, but it's much, much, much edgier, and you know, the way the harmonies are on this album, you know, we really, there are much more, what can we call it, there's more disharmony on this album, and we allowed ourselves to say that was okay, you know, there is even some, I'm not sure if it's noticeable when you listen to the album, but you know, there was also some inspiration from jazz harmonics and stuff like that, and there are much more inspirations from world music. You know, that's maybe a place where we hint at some of the old album, because there's a number that's kind of Middle Eastern. A couple of songs that are, you know, full of tablas and strange scales and stuff like that. It's also the songs are some of the songs. Has sections that reprise in other songs, even though they're not lyrically linked. There's a kind of wholeness to the album because of the way we reuse some of the themes from some songs and other songs and stuff like that. But it's really a dark album, and it's an edgy album, and it's not a feel-good album. And maybe it's good for us to do an album like that, or maybe it isn't, but we had to get it out of our system. I had to get that out of our system, you know. I went through my dark period by putting this album together, and that shows.
Well, my question is, do you have any song titles and an album title and a possible release date for the album to come out?
We do not have a release date right now. We ran into a bit of trouble with the cover. We had a photograph that we wanted to use for the cover, but we couldn't track the original photographer down, and we didn't want to breach anybody's copyright, so we had to start from scratch on the cover stuff. And that means that every day now it's being a bit delayed, of course, because we cannot start manufacturing until we have the artwork sorted out. But we commissioned the guy who did the last album, Nikos he's called, he's from Greece and he's awesome, but we just commissioned him to do the cover because we were stuck at it. So it's going to be great, because yeah, he's fantastic. So, I mean, okay, I'll give you the scoop. The album is going to be called Covered in Black. So, and that's Well, one of the song titles, that's the first song is called Psychotopia. So, I mean, that's, and that was actually the working title of the song, and it's not often that we end up using the working title of the song as the finished title from the song, but it's not no secret that we had a track that's, that was called that. So, so I can say that publicly. But you heard it first. The album is going to be called Covered in Black. And what's interesting about that song is also that there is a quiet section with just piano and a bit of cello and a bit of double bass. And at first I just used samples for it, but it just sounded so fake that I actually recruited a real cello player and a real double bass player to get to record those that section, because I didn't... It was just, it didn't sound right without real strings.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, listening, you know, thinking about this album is really, you know, thinking about what you described is really making me, getting me to this point where I can't wait till it comes out. But, you know, just like every interview, Kim, are there any last words you want to say to the metal fans that'll be checking this thing out on my show?
Famous last words.
Famous last words.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I hope you'll all be looking out for our new album and getting it when it's released. I shouldn't brag, but it's quite an amazing album. I think it really goes a lot of places, and I mean there are. Corners of the album that I think I can safely say this has never been done in metal before. Harmonics have never been used like that, and Indian instruments and stuff like that. There are things that I had never heard any metal band do on this album, and so I'm quite proud of that, actually.